In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Trinity Sunday, as we know, is the only day within the Church's year devoted exclusively to the doctrine of the Trinity. And while not specifically named as such in Scripture, the Bible is overflowing with references to God, to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we have once again entered into worship today. The same prayer with and in which we were all baptized and others were added to our number only last Sunday on the Feast of Pentecost. And they who, like us, from the cradle to the grave, will continue to both recite in word and trace on our heads, on our lips and our hearts this specifically Christian signature until, that is, we go to meet our great Father of glory, of splendor and light. The sign of the cross, the sign of the Trinity, the very same mark of faith under which confessors have faced persecution. Martyrs were willing to shed their blood. Missionaries would spread the word to the whole world. And indeed, had someone not shared that good news with us, none of us would be here this morning. There are, of course, many and multiple attempts to explain this doctrine. Mystics and theologians have grappled with and often articulated plausible insights into this phenomenon over the centuries. The same Trinity, which St. Athanasius is claimed to have said is not immortal or invisible, but incomprehensible. The same Trinity about which Julian of Norwich shared a threefold revelation that indeed all shall be well. And St. Augustine reflected on as the undivided, equal relational love found within the three in one and one in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In a desire to articulate and comprehend this doctrine, many people have turned to the arts to catch a glimpse of what Trinity as mystery might mean and also as a foundation of faith. Over the years, new images have also come to light. I learnt a new one this morning, such as that of Jeremy Begbie, musician and theologian, who suggests we turn to music to experience this doctrine, wherein each person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is distinctive and yet equally connected, attuned or resonant like a three-note harmonious chord. Celtic symbols and static Venn-like diagrams are often presented as summaries of what the doctrine of Trinity might mean, like the one I recall carved in a pew in my home parish church, to which my rector, Canon Hatch, who wasn't one for visual aids, would refer to each year in confirmation class. As it happens, and I know I'm not alone here, the parish I was raised in the southeast of England, was dedicated to the Holy Trinity. You would think, therefore, having heard 17 years of sermons, I'd have plenty of insights into this doctrine. I don't. Rather, Holy Trinity Rayleigh was the place of my baptism, confirmation, the foundation of my faith journey. It became a community where I discovered that Christian signature was not only for my head, but would capture my heart. In the witness of that place, the doctrine of Holy Trinity for me became not something simply to know about, but something rooted in a mysterious relationship, as someone to know. Above the choir stalls was a large rude screen bearing one of the most famous words in Christendom: God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son. Beneath this screen we would sing Stainer's Crucifixion or Maunder's Olivet to Calvary every Good Friday, Here, at Holy Trinity, I discovered what it was to say and believe and sing, "Just as I am, I come." Holy Trinity to me, therefore, meant and means belonging to and with a God who isn't inaccessible or hid absent from my eyes, but one who is loving and truly present in a community of worship and welcome, a community active in hospitality and mission. Each Sunday, we would process through the 12th century church, singing "Blessed City, Heavenly Salem," concluding with our creed: "Lord and honor to the Father, Lord and honor to the Son, Lord and honor to the Spirit, ever three and ever one." We would then pause in our procession for what seemed, as a young child, quite an age. We would pause by our foundation stone. Trinity Sunday was a day to review our purpose, to look back, admire the view, where we've come from, to give thanks for where we were now, and look ahead to where we were going on our sometimes uncertain journey together. Holy Trinity was a church which still is committed to be God-centered, Jesus-led, Holy Spirit-inspired, bringing his love to others. So as Trinity Sunday falls once again at this time of remembrance and reflection, I find myself reflecting on the Holy Trinity, not as some complex theory, but a relational image that speaks of presence and belonging, not only in terms of the past, but as many of us here have been considering, how might we bring and be his love to others here at St. Thomas, in the center of Midtown Manhattan, in this diverse worldwide and digital community. Before us here, just to my right, your left, and in your leaflet, we have a copy of the famous 15th century Rublev icon, wherein three figures which depict the hospitality of Abraham also point us to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the embodiment of unity, presence, and love. Within this icon, the Father looks forward, raising his hand in blessing to the Son. "This is my Son. Listen to him." The hand of the Son points on around the circle to the Spirit. In this simple array, we see the movement of life towards us. The Father sends the Son sends the Spirit. The life flows clockwise around the circle, and we are, each one of us, invited to be in relationship, to be part of the circle, completing it with our presence and our response. Now, of course, such an icon conveys so many other layers of meaning about presence, welcome, hospitality. We could spend all day exploring them, but we won't, of course. So I do commend this icon to your prayers in the coming weeks. Today at St. Thomas, as we celebrate Trinity Sunday, I wonder, as we gather at the table, this table, and are fed by the divine presence here, how might we respond to the invitation of the Trinity to be present with one another, to be present to the hundreds of visitors who do enter our church and join us online each week? How might we be more welcoming or hospitable to those who, like the passing crestfallen characters in Norman Rockwell's 20th century painting of St. Thomas, where they do not lift up their eyes to the steps, to the gate of heaven, because it or we make God seem inaccessible, hid from their eyes? And two, in this Trinity ordinary or growing time, I wonder how we might respond to that invitation to be complete, to join the circle, to be more relational than transactional with our neighbour, and collaborate together to make known the real presence of the Holy Trinity, both in and beyond this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.